This is episode 35 of Two Girls Talking Concert Must-Sees. I'm Katie Kiley, the afternoon drive host at 97.1 The River, Atlanta's classic hits. And my good buddy Melissa Ruggieri is with me, the music critic for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, who also does the music scene blog on AJC.com. We are Two Girls Talking. We love to go to concerts. Sometimes you have to go. I think we should mention this first one. Let's just hit it with Iron Maiden. I love Iron Maiden. When at my first job in radio, we played Iron Maiden at 8 in the morning. So I love Run to the Hills and 666, the number of the beast. They were one at Steve Harris from Iron Maiden was one of my first interviews.
Oh, really?
You just saw them. They just kicked off their tour in Atlanta. It was almost sold out, right, in a huge outdoor arena.
It was. It was actually like the second night of the tour. But it was almost, I mean, there were just a handful of seats, 20,000 people, so close to 20,000 people there. And it was just really cool to see the age range of people in there. I mean, you know, there were people who have been listening to them on rock radio for 20, 30 years.
That's it.
There were teenagers there. The guy standing next to me had like a maybe 11, 12-year-old son with him who I think was probably at his first concert, by the way he was reacting to everything. And he knew every word to every song and was playing air guitar. And that's how these things keep going. And
what the son said to his dad at some point. He put his hands over his face.
He put his hands over his head and he said, "My mind is blown." And, you know, and it's a cool show. They've got all these props. They've got, you know, a plane hanging from the ceiling. And then Eddie comes out and, you know, he's 12 feet tall or whatever. And then Bruce Dickinson is sword fighting with him. And there's a lot of fake drama, of course, that goes along with it. But the band also sounded great. Granted, second night of the tour. So, of course, his voice was hopefully going to be in good form. And it was. Everybody's in their 60s now, but you wouldn't know
Isn't
it by the
something?
Energy. And their drummer as well. I mean, that these are complicated songs. These are not 4-minute, you know, rock songs that they're playing. And to go through that type of musicality out in the heat, that's going to be a long tour, and they're actually going to be in the U.S. until September, and then they're going over to South America, so they're going to be on the road a good part of the year.
So if you're out, like the one time I saw them in California was in Long Beach at the Long Beach Arena there. If you're looking for some great shows to see, and if you happen to like a heavy duty, Iron Maiden is, you're saying it's still a fantastic show. I love hearing that because they were always great.
And you know, this was my first time seeing them, and that was one of the reasons I wanted to go, because of all the bands I've seen over 20-something years of doing this, for some reason they've slipped through the cracks, or maybe I found something to do the night that they were coming out of there. But they hadn't been in Atlanta. I want to say it was 2012 was the last time they were here. So it had been a while since, you know, they had last played here, which I think also amps up the, you know, curiosity.
Absolutely.
And excitement factor.
I just loved hearing that was so good, and I'm kicking myself.
And they're playing all fan favorites. And Bruce Dickinson even said toward the beginning of the show, you know, "I'm sure you'll be happy to hear no new songs tonight." And there were some people who were disappointed. And he's like, "I like seeing that you're disappointed that we're not playing any new songs, because that makes me think that you might want to
hear
some
new songs."
Right.
Eventually.
Right.
Yeah.
So this seems like a really good tour to catch if you are just a casual Iron Maiden fan or follower, or just kind of curious about what their
you
whole live show is
really
about.
Really enjoyed it.
And I did. I really was surprised. I came home. My husband was like, "Ugh, how was Iron Maiden?" So they were really good. It was a really entertaining show.
I love hearing that. And you said you had a lot of interest, too, on your online review.
The review did almost as well as my biggest ever review, which was for Taylor Swift. So if that tells you anything.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy.
We're talking to tens of thousands of people.
Yeah. And I think overseas, it got passed around, you know, various fan sites, which I certainly appreciate when people, you know, post things on websites and fan sites, because that really does help for readership. But I think that, I mean, I just think there's a lot of interest in this tour also because they did it in Europe last year. But even those fans just want to know everything about them. A friend of mine was telling me that he's like, "You should have bought a shirt and sold it on eBay," because he said when they had these city specific shirts, like they did have an Atlanta shirt, he said anybody in Europe will pay like 18 times the amount just to have, they just collect everything of Iron Maiden because they're so rabid about
That's a good thing for you to let people know. Then.
I was like, "Oh, you should have let me know this a week before. I would have spent the $40 to triple my money."
No kidding.
But yeah, so whatever city they're coming to, if you're going to see them, you might want to buy
a shirt too.
Maybe buy two shirts.
Well, and then you're going to see somebody here tonight that is the same thing. Hasn't it been a while since TLC's been out?
They've gone out on like a 90s tour in the last couple of years. I actually saw them earlier this year at the Grammy post party, the official Grammy after party they performed. And they are from Atlanta. The two girls who are left, Chili and T-Boz. Of course, Lisa Lopez died in a horrible car accident in Honduras back in 1999. It's been a long time.
Oh, gosh.
But, you know, here we hear a lot about TLC because this is where they were created. This is where, you know, it all began. But their tour with Nelly and Flo Rida, it's just going to be really a fun night, I think. And if you grew up in that era, you probably will have a lot of songs to sing to, because among the three acts, they certainly have a lot of hits. And they're going to be on the road through the end of August. This is just the second night of the tour.
Just starting out.
Yeah.
That's great. Let's talk about ones that we have seen this year so far that are still going to be out.
Well, you got to see Rick Springfield for the fifth time?
Yes. Rick Springfield with the Atlanta Symphony. Is he still playing with symphony orchestras, or he's going out in three different incarnations, right?
Exactly. And he is on the road really through the end of the year. I think he only has one more symphony date booked, but the rest are either with his full band, the stripped acoustic version of his show he does, or the ones with Richard Marx where they take turns, you know, headlining, and then they do a couple songs together, which is cool. I've seen him in all of those, as we've discussed previously on this podcast about my adoration of Rick Springfield. But I like the fact that you enjoyed the show, especially in that format, which is a very different way to see him.
He's got it down. He's amazing.
Turning 70 in a few weeks.
That's amazing.
It's just, and he looks great. I went to the sound check the day of the show and got to hang out in like the second row for about a half an hour while they ran through some of the songs with the orchestra. And, you know, just a guy in his jeans and a Henley shirt and Converse sneakers and glasses. You know, I mean, he's just such a nice guy. And that's why, you know, he still keeps bringing in people.
That's why Melissa goes back every time he comes.
50 something times or 30 something times. I forgot how many times.
It's one of the shows that I think is interesting that I'm looking forward to seeing. You saw it last year, but I'm seeing this year. I bought my tickets ahead of time. Elton John.
That's right. Because
we kind of knew. I had a feeling he was going to come back to Atlanta. Atlanta's like a second home for him, third home or fourth home.
Right, at this point.
But I felt like, oh, there's no way if he's going out for 3 years that he won't come back to Atlanta. So I was right. I held out, but I didn't hold out for longer because I'm afraid maybe he won't.
I think this might be it for him.
Farewell.
Because, you know, he announced a year ago January that he was going on a 3-year farewell tour. So now we're, you know, in the middle of the second year of it pretty much. And he is coming back to Atlanta on November 2nd. And he's going to be in the U.S. through November. So he's out there still.
Your experience with it was?
Oh, it's fabulous. I mean, and Elton's somebody I've seen a bazillion times
here.
Too.
How does it rate to the other times that you've seen him?
Well, the thing I really liked about the show, as I always enjoy with Elton, same with Billy, is that he's got the same band. That these are guys who have been with them through the long haul, and they know these songs inside and out. Even though they could sound very rote when they're doing it, they never do. And in Atlanta especially, I think Elton certainly has, you know, personal connections here still, and he talks about a lot of those things. So I think it's a special place for him to play, and I think that's also maybe why we made the cut for another round of shows, because, you know, he's not playing every city twice. So this will be his third show that he'll have done in Atlanta. And I do think this is probably the end, because he's got other shows to do overseas. I mean, he still has another year to do. So if you haven't gotten tickets, you probably
should. We both feel that he will come out at some point with one show here and there or whatever. So there probably will be a chance for you to see him in the future, but you just never know. And when he's billing it as this, we're telling you, get your ticket. See him before you don't have a chance to see him again.
Because lots of things can happen. I mean, there are health things just that come along with age. There are, you know, just decisions that, you know, like him, he wants to be with his kids more and raise his family at this point in his
life. Once he's off the road for a while, he may decide this is the best thing I've ever done.
You know, or he might get off the road and go, oh boy, I got to get away from these kids. But you're right. I mean, I think people like him and Ozzy, who've announced no more tours too, I don't think that's the last you're ever going to see them on a stage anywhere ever again. You know, I'm sure even Ozzy is going to do some festival dates here and there. I'm sure Sharon's going to want to kick him out of the house to go do something. And, you know, Ozzy was supposed to have played Atlanta this past spring, and he wound up having to postpone the entire, like, slate of 2019 shows because he got so sick at the beginning of the year. So now the tour isn't picking up again until next year, until 2020. It'll kick off here in Atlanta on May 27th. So if you got tickets to the show, just hang on to them if you're able to make this new date. And it was in May that it was supposed to happen this year. So at least it's the same general time frame. But he did a bunch of shows last summer and everything seemed to be okay. But then he got pneumonia. And
it was just one thing after another.
Exactly. And he tripped and he fell and he hurt it, you know.
Yeah.
Right. So it's probably just as well that he took the year off. But I think this will be the last full show you will see from him on a regular tour. I think we'll still see him here and there. Kiss, I'm not so sure about. I think that they might be done when they say they're done, because
they've done it before.
And they have made money off of every possible tchotchke.
I know. It's really brilliant.
Stick a Kiss logo on it and charge $40
Gene is like, you can tell Gene's still going. It's like, he will never stop.
The fact that Gene did that thing, was it last summer or the year before, that he released a box set of his material? And if you paid, you know, $8 billion for it, he delivered it to your house.
I mean, along with a pizza.
You got to love the guy for that. I mean, at least he's putting the work in.
You and I have both met him several times. And it's kind of funny because when you meet him in person, you think you're the only person he's ever done this before to.
Right.
But he always will take your hand and kiss it. And then when Melissa's like, oh, yeah, he kissed my hand, too. It's like, what?
I know, right? I thought I was special.
Seriously. Yeah. It's like he really and truly, and then he presses a guitar pick into your hand. He's such a flirt.
Yes.
But he's such a brilliant. They're really, really special guys.
They're business guys. I mean, they're they're really smart business guys. Yeah. And even looking at Iron Maiden the other night, I mean, you're looking at Bruce Dickinson and you're going, okay, here's a guy in his 60s who is taking really good care of himself because he knows he has to be on the road now for several months, and you got to keep your voice in shape. And it's all about, you know, you want to put on a good show for your fans, but it's also the business side of it, that you know, you want to make money on these tours, because these aren't bands that are selling a million records a week.
That's right.
Anymore. And it's really from the merchandise. See, if I had bought that T-shirt, I would help them.
But the live show
and the live
and
shows,
we're not going to steer you wrong. I mean, somebody can have an off night or something.
Absolutely.
But we'll tell you, we won't promote something that we don't think is worth seeing.
I've seen a lot of good shows this year, I have to say. There haven't really been too many that I've come home going, ugh, God, now I got to write about this nonsense.
It's got to be really hard to write about something that you don't love. That's for sure.
It's hard, but it's also kind of fun in a way, because if something's that bad, I like when things are either really good or really bad. Those ones that are just middle of the road, those are really hard to write about, because there's nothing to say other than, it happened.
What was the worst one that you ever had to write about? You remember?
Ooh. I've had some off nights of, you know, rock bands over the years, even the Kiss. I think I gave Kiss a pretty bad review in Richmond one year, and boy, did I hear from their fans about that. That was
really?
Back in the letter writing days. I still have like a folder full of these, like, only in case the FBI ever needed them. I mean, they were nasty. They were very threatening. I mean, they were that kind of craziness, but it wasn't good. I mean, the sound was terrible. They were just going through the motions. It was just, you know, one of those nights that sometimes happens.
I can't ever think of a show that I've seen that's just horrible. I lie. Van Halen with David Lee Roth the last time.
See?
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I know.
So we won't steer you wrong about
these. I mean, the one thing about being a critic that I've always enjoyed being a critic is that it is about your opinion. I mean, it's an informed opinion, I hope. I try to make it anyway.
No, that's true.
But that's what it is, because I've seen so many shows that I can call things out pretty quickly as whether this is really good or not. I mean, when I used to have to file on Deadline, I really only could watch the first 40 minutes of a concert because I had to go down in the bowels of the arena to write. And I remember my mentor telling me when I was learning how to do all this when I was in college, she was like, you know what? If you can't call it in 20 minutes, you shouldn't be in this business, which is so true, because in the first 20 to 30 minutes of a show, that's what you're going to get. You're just going to get more of that. And sure, if you're going to see a Jennifer Lopez like I did last week, and there's going to be more stuff, or Lady Gaga, or, you know, like that, those kinds of shows, yes, you might miss out on some of the razzle dazzle. But as far as how it sounds and just the general feeling of the show, yeah, if they haven't established that in the first half hour, it ain't going to change. You know who I loved? And you kind of made fun of me a little bit, but then when I told you about it, you understood. Hugh Jackman.
Oh,
what a fabulous show.
Yes, you're right. And that is very funny that you talked me into being curious about it. Well, I just couldn't see how he would play well to a big, huge arena. You think of him as a stage guy, but a stage like a Broadway stage.
Right.
That's the way I think of him. I couldn't see how it would play well, but his fans are I'm like on the losing side of that. Everybody I know loves him.
Yes. And I will say, he is an amazing showman. I mean, he just loves being on a stage, and he's gorgeous. I mean, he's certainly not hard to look at. He's
not my type.
If you saw him in person. He's very charming. He's very self-deprecating. You know, he's very down to earth, that kind of thing. And that came across very much in this show. And it wasn't the same thing every night, because I've read other reviews and, you know, seen some clips online of him saying different things or making other jokes.
Reacting,
or pulling
cool.
different people on stage. He wished a little girl, and I think it was New York, a happy birthday that her mom had somehow gotten in touch with him, like maybe over Twitter or something the day before. And his wife saw it. The wife made sure that Hugh knew that when he went out that this little girl was going to be in a certain place. And, you know, he like got down on his stomach basically on the ramp of the stage to reach out to her, and he sang happy birthday to her. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that people don't have to do, and I think he really made an effort to be personable with people, and he really does fill that arena, because it is like watching a big Broadway musical.
Do they have
big
screens?
There were actually two very big vertical screens on each side of the stage, so you got to see really good close-ups of him. And the thing that I went with my cousin, and she and I walked out of there going, like, I would go see that again. And he's coming back. He's playing Philly in early October, and he's doing another round of U.S. dates in October. And I would go see that show again, just because it was a great mix of Broadway stuff, which I love. He did a whole thing of Peter Allen, because he was in The Boy from Oz on Broadway, which is still my favorite musical I've ever seen. And he really inhabits Peter Allen's character very well. And then he also would do a lot of the more serious songs, like from Les Mis, and he would, since he is such a good actor, he would take on the character of whoever he was presenting at the time. And you know,
that's cool.
And they had dancers and an orchestra. I mean, it's a big production. So when you say you think, well, how does he fill an arena with that? He can, because you got all the other stuff that goes along with it, and he has a beautiful voice too. So yeah, it was really one of my favorite shows.
I like hearing that. So if you are a Hugh Jackman fan, even if you're not, you may want to consider that.
Yeah. So we go from Broadway back to rock to pop. You know what's a really big tour this summer that I think has surprised a lot of people is Hootie and the Blowfish.
Ugh.
Again, a 90s band. They're one of those. They're hard to write about because they're just fine. As far as, you know, I mean, it was a good show. They played here back in June. It was one of the early dates of the tour. Sold out our Lakewood Amphitheater, 20,000 people.
My gosh.
The entire tour is, if it's not sold out, it's almost sold out. And the demand here was so great that they limited ticket purchases through, you had to either be a Georgia, North Carolina, or South Carolina resident when you went on Ticketmaster and you put in your information, because so many people were trying to buy tickets.
I am like blown away by that.
I know, but you know that.
And
that,
sorry, I don't mean to be like, oh my God, I hate, it's
no,
just
it's
I
okay.
played
they're
the crap out of them on the radio and I'm like, oh, okay.
They're very milquetoast. I mean, they've always been that, but that's how they sold, you know, 20 million copies.
And they're very nice people.
Of Cracker
I remember
Review.
That.
Darius Rucker is a lovely person. He has a fabulous voice. The concert was very good. They sounded really good. And
I'm sure they're happy to be back together again, especially the guys that aren't Darius Rucker.
Well, but you know, it's funny. They actually never broke up. People think that they got back to, like, this was a reunion. It's not really a reunion. They would get back together every year to do these charity shows in South Carolina for various golfing things. Last year, Jason Aldean played a stadium show here in Atlanta, and they got back together to do that show. They just haven't done a tour in a long time. And one or two of the guys looks like they still don't really like being on stage quite as much as Darius and the guitarist, you know. But their songs, people grew up with the, just like you and I have our favorites of stuff that soundtrack to our lives. There's a whole generation.
No, you're exactly right. Yes. And if I were young when when that came out, I would be all over it. That's for sure.
Yeah. And it's a good, solid show. You get what you want to get. You get
but
a ton of hits.
I was young when Peter Frampton came out with Frampton Comes Alive. So now that's when we can talk about that, I'd be excited because I saw it last summer.
Yeah.
That Frampton tour, he is amazing. The reason why he's touring now and saying it's his final tour is he has some issues with it, the muscles, isn't it?
It's a degenerative muscular disease. Yeah.
So he's worried that he might not be able to play so well. And the thing is, Peter Frampton's an incredible guitar player, but what really comes out is his love for what he does on stage. It really is so apparent how much he loves the fans and loves what he does on stage. So this is a show, this farewell tour, it's going to be here August 11th in Atlanta at Ameris Bank Amphitheater with Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Evening, which is also another thing that's great. But Frampton going out, I think that you need to see.
You do, and he's going to be out on the road through mid-October, so you have a lot of chances to see him. Unfortunately, you and I are both out of town when he's here. I'm glad I saw him. He played with Billy Joel when I went to Billy's 70th birthday concert back in May, and Frampton was the special guest of the night. So I'm glad I got to see him come out and do a couple of songs there. He was so happy. I mean, he was having such a good time.
He's
you could tell
just,
how happy
he's
he was.
A real
He's such a good
person.
Guy. You and I have interviewed him together before and separately, too. And every time, he's just such a lovely person. And this is definitely, I think, going to be the last hurrah for him on the road. Same thing, because he knows he can't keep up the rigors of live performing. He might show up on a special show or a Grammy thing,
that. And I hope, because I think he was saying that they're hoping to find some kind of solution for this degeneration that's happening with him.
And fortunately, they caught it early enough that he was able to now prepare to do this final round of shows. Because that would have been so awful if, you know, a doctor had said, yeah, that's it, you can't play anymore, and then he couldn't even really say a proper goodbye,
you know.
So at least now, and that's got to be a tough thing to do, to be able, every night you walk off that stage knowing that's the last time you're going to play Boise or Atlanta or Boston or wherever. And
I don't even know if he knew, but when I saw Glenn Campbell, he was out with Kenny Rogers.
Oh yes, I saw that show at Chastain.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
With his family. His family came out and played with him.
Yeah, and sadly at Chastain, that people were talking in the audience, they were waiting for Kenny Rogers. I was like, I could have literally turned around and killed people.
Yes.
I was like, this is Glenn freaking Campbell. Yes. He's so amazing.
Yeah, and it was noted that it was his farewell tour. It was like his last goodbye or his last something, because he was in the throes of Alzheimer's enough that his kids were on stage with him. They're musicians. Obviously, they weren't just standing there. But there were a couple of times where they had to remind him, you know, what song they were going to do and stuff
and
like that.
I think
he had
to start a song over. The whole point with him and whatever was happening with him was that he still had inside whatever things were flaring off in his brain, he could still play guitar so amazingly. I had never seen him live. I mean, have you seen Glenn Campbell live before? I mean, the opportunity to be able to see that man before he went, and still was several years before he died, but it was so extraordinary. That's the only person I think that I've ever seen that I was like, wow, this is a real gift to us, that we know that he's not going to come back around.
I felt the same way. And you're right. Watching him play guitar, it was almost muscle memory for a lot of it, that, you know, you could tell that he wasn't quite in the moment, but his brain was still telling him what to play. And it was a really interesting way of watching a show, because I know it does affect you as the fan in the audience or the viewer in the audience, because you realize that this is going to be the last time you're going to see somebody. And knowing that, you know, like again, like with Elton, you always kind of feel like, yeah, Elton will pop up somewhere.
He's still doing well. Yeah,
Paul Stanley will show up somewhere or whatever. But
that Frampton doing that same kind of thing, it's a real gift to his fans that he's even embarking on something like this when I'm sure he's worried, you know?
Sure.
I'm sure he's worried about
and
what
I'm sure
his
it's
life
painful.
Is going to be like. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he's still in some kind of pain, even if hopefully it's minimal at this point and they have some kind of medication, you know, that can curb it. But yeah, I mean, that's a hard thing to come to grips with as a musician, too, to realize that, yeah, this is kind of it for me.
You know? Go see him, because if you love live shows, well, that's why we're telling you.
It's the same with, like, Paul McCartney, you know? Good Lord, I'll go see Paul McCartney anywhere, anytime, because, although I'm bummed I missed Paul McCartney in Vegas recently because Steven Tyler came out and sang a song with him, did Helter Skelter with him because Aerosmith is playing that Vegas residency and they were in town. That's a really good show, too. If you're out in Vegas, definitely check out the Aerosmith
residency.
That's
coming back in the fall. Isn't it done for now?
Well,
for
they're actually touring in August.
The
they're doing the East Coast. I know they're doing the Borgata, my favorite place.
They're doing casinos on the East Coast.
My favorite donation location. And then they're going back to Vegas through the end of the year and doing a bunch of shows. And then Def Leppard is also going to be in Vegas through August and into September. And I'm going to catch them like September 1st, so the last week of the shows that they're going to be doing out of Planet Hollywood. They did a residency there about 4 or 5 years ago, and this is their return residency. And when we talked to Rick Allen recently, he talked about how it's a cool thing. It's a cool thing when you don't have to move.
Right.
And people come
so
to you.
So those residencies, it's cool to see. I haven't seen one yet, so I'll have to go do that.
Oh, you got
to
go. Go see Aerosmith.
The Who is a band I've seen live so many times in all different incarnations as far as them doing the Tommy stuff. Mm-hmm. And I've seen them with Keith Moon, without Keith Moon, with Zach. State Farm Arena here in September. They're going to be all over. The date is starting September 1st in New York. So Madison Square Garden. So you want to see them. You know, I know Roger's talking about his voice. He doesn't know how long his voice is going to hold out. Pete, one of the greatest guitar players you're ever going to see. The energy with The Who is something else. And it is just hit after hit after hit. To see Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey together, it's like one of those things where you're just like, wow, these two just major
legends.
Powerhouses.
Yeah, really. Right. And I love Zach Starkey on drums. I mean, he's been playing
fantastic
with them for so long now, Ringo's son, of course. And he's an amazing drummer. And those are not easy songs to play. I mean, that's a hard seat to fill.
Yep.
And he just does a fantastic job. And I've seen them a dozen times or so, probably over the years, like you know, the Tommy thing or just the hit stores or whatever. And yeah, if you haven't seen them, the dynamic between Roger and Pete, you just never know when that might fall apart.
I know. After reading that book of Roger's, it's so interesting. But it's also like the Stones. I'm going to see the Stones. You just saw them. I bought tickets, and that's something I want to talk to you about to wrap when we wrap this up. But I'm going to see the Stones in Denver in August. The Stones are still out for a few more dates. That's another one where I'm hearing they're like at the top of their game right now. I mean, you haven't seen them much better before, correct?
I mean, I don't know if I haven't seen them much better. I've seen them a lot over the years as well, going back to the late 80s probably. They're as good, I would say.
That's,
I mean, this is a good tour.
Pretty incredible.
Yeah, it is. It is. Of course, you know, Mick coming off his surgery and Keith just being Keith. And the fact
and
that
Keith not wearing his bandana.
I know.
Keith is like, I'm looking at pictures from different dates. I'm like, boy, he's looking more like a pimp now than a pirate. Because he's wearing like really nice flowery shirts. But it's so cute. I'm like, what's he going through? He's going through some
it's fashion
not
change.
Midlife crisis. But so.
Right. His I can't believe I'm still upright.
Yes. Yeah. That was pretty good. You know? I mean, I talk to more people than I can believe that are like, I've never seen the Stones. And I'm like,
you don't
even know what you're missing.
How could you have never seen the Stones? They tour regularly. It's not as if they're one of those bands who only came out every decade or so.
So great.
They are expensive, though. I mean, I could see why maybe some people would balk at the ticket price for.
Really?
Yeah, for really good seats. I mean, I told you, we sat in the 400 level in Chicago, and, you know, we paid probably close to $400 for our two tickets.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I feel like, well, I paid about, I hate to even say this, but I'm taking my niece and her husband. They've never seen them, and they don't live in Atlanta. They live in Denver. So my feeling is, okay, I can splurge on you. So we paid about $750 a ticket, I think.
A ticket. See, that's what I mean.
Okay, all right. But my point is, I just got the tickets a couple of weeks ago. They've been on sale forever.
Right.
So if you actually plan ahead of time, you can do it. And the way I got the tickets was going to Ticketmaster. That's what I want to find out from you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure you're not getting tickets when these shows have been announced for a while. And if you just kind of get a wild hair, I hate that phrase, but because I think of some wild hair coming out of some witch's chin. But if you get a wild hair and want to see them, you can get tickets. And you can get for real tickets.
Right.
You're going to have to pay more for them.
You're not always going to pay more for them. It might just be that the only things are left are what they call like a platinum ticket or something that goes through your credit card through American Express. But I am such a big proponent of buying tickets through the official ticket seller of whatever the venue is, whatever the concert is. I just don't believe in resale tickets. It irritates me. I mean, it just does. And they're usually are, there is always a ticket to be found. And even if it's a last minute thing, I know if you're traveling, you can't really, you know, bank on that unless it's like, oh, well, if we happen to get a ticket while we're in Denver, great. The day of the show, 90% of the time there are tickets released, because once they release their production holds that they had either for, you know, band purposes, you know, family members coming, ticket giveaways, radio, whatever, press, you know, they put those all on sale. And I have a friend in California who that's really the only way he buys tickets. He goes up to the box office 2 hours, 3 hours before our show.
Now, see, that's kind of interesting.
And he's always in like the second row. And he pays face value for them. I mean, you're just paying face value.
And he's going to be really mad when he hears you telling everybody this, because now everybody's going to run out and do it.
Well, you have to have the time. You have to have the interest. You have to be able to get there, you know, at the allotted time. And you really want to have to go see a show. So you do have to plan ahead of time.
Well, and you have to know that you may not be able to see it.
Well, that's it, too. And if you can't get in, then you can't get in, you know. But there's
always... See, I always worry about going to the place and people outside telling them and holding them up.
Right.
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. You know, the only time I've ever bought tickets like that over the years... And it's usually been in a different city. Like if I've gone to Philly, my cousin went with me and I went to see Madonna and he didn't have a ticket. I had a press ticket and he bought a ticket from a guy in the parking lot. But, you know, he makes the person walk in with him. It's like, I will give you your money when we cross the threshold, and they scan my ticket and I see that it's legitimate there. It's a lot harder for there to be illegitimate tickets now, just with various things they've done with technology and mobile ticketing and barcodes.
But you wouldn't
know
that. Like, you wouldn't know buying it on the street.
No, you wouldn't. I mean, you wouldn't. And I've always hated those print off your own ticket thing. Because to me, that's just a piece of paper. Also, I like a ticket. I collect my ticket stubs. I like to have my ticket stubs. Sometimes now they even charge you more
know,
for the
that
ticket.
Makes me, I won't do
I don't
that.
Care.
I won't pay
no,
$6.
I will. Yeah. Because, and for Broadway shows, it's the same thing. It's like, I will either pick them up at will call or I will have them mailed to me, but usually pick them up at will call because they might not show up in the mail. But I want an actual ticket. I don't want to just have like something I print off. I don't want to pick up my phone and show it because I hate the people standing in front of me trying to get into the venue who can't get their phone to turn on and then they can't find the ticket. Meanwhile, I have mine in my hand. I'm like, I'm good. Can I go in? You know, but I have, you know, a billion tickets from all my years of doing this, and I don't know what I'm going to do with them. But
and
I
you
want
have
them.
No children, and so that's
exactly.
I did the same thing all these years. I've kept them, and then I'm like, nobody's going to want these.
Nobody's going to want them. But it's kind of fun sometimes if I go back and look at something I went to in the '80s, and the ticket was $17.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree. I'm all about
like
ticket
that.
Stubs too. But
and
it is
some,
funny.
Some bands like Dave Matthews and the Dead, they will sell commemorative tickets now for like $10 or something. But the art, I mean, they're gorgeous. Their artwork, it's something that's custom made to be something that's like a piece of art that you could get framed. It's not just like your standard, you know, ticket that you get going through. But
that's kind of cool.
But
I didn't
yeah,
know that.
No, I mean, if you're going to buy tickets, always check the seller from that particular venue before you go anywhere, and be careful when you Google, because I mean a lot of people you just don't know because you don't go to shows.
I go to Ticketmaster,
exactly,
usually, which is how I've done
which
it,
which is 90% of the time is where it's going to be, or if
and
it's
those
a Live
are
Nation
resale
show.
They're like people,
yes,
but they're doing
sell.
It through
yes.
the proper channels, right. And so you know, right. You're going to get your ticket,
yeah, and if you have an account, then it just transfers over to your account, and it's a very easy process. But a lot of people who don't go to a lot of shows don't necessarily realize, if they Google Aerosmith Tickets Las Vegas, the first thing that's going to come up is not going to be
that's right.
the official ticket place, because all the resale places buy those Google ads that put them higher on the chain. So that's the first thing you're going to see. They go, oh, I'm just going to click on this. They click on that. You know, we had this discussion when Hamilton came to town, and every city that Hamilton plays on tour, so many people have said to me, oh my God, Hamilton tickets are $2,000. No, they're not. They're not $2,000. It might be $200, but they're not $2,000. Where did you buy your tickets? Oh, well, I Googled Fox Theater in Hamilton, and, you know, this ticket's... No. How many stories do I need to write?
That's
to tell
it.
You?
Don't so we're
go to the Fox Theater website. That's where you get it from. And so I would just always suggest going to the venue's website, because that is what's going to connect you to the official ticket seller.
And
for
you can always get them. That's
yes.
really cool.
Yes.
But I will leave you with one story.
Yes.
My first time ever buying concert tickets online, it was the very final show for Prince at the Fox.
Oh, wow. That was your first time
that
buying
was
them
the
online?
First time ever. Unless, well, yeah, we didn't have it online when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So literally all my years in radio, I've never had to buy concert tickets.
True,
because
right.
my job is to sell concert tickets, mm-hmm. basically, until like the last 10 years. And now they're like gold, and so we don't get them. Now you still do if you're a critic.
And you come with me sometimes.
But when you're a proponent of all of them, just saying blindly, yes, you're going to love the show, you don't
right.
get free tickets.
Go
so
figure.
I realized when it was things that I really wanted, I started buying them ahead of time.
Sure.
So Prince and his piano at the Fox Theater, which is like, you might have a Fox Theater if you don't live in Atlanta, in your town. They're the old, beautiful
mm-hmm.
theaters.
St. Louis has one.
And I was like, who's ever going to see Prince like this again, right? I had that Wheel of Death on it. Mm-hmm. There were two shows. I thought, ooh, I'll probably have a better chance getting tickets for the second show because it's later at night. Most people, it's on a weeknight. So I went straight in there, and somehow I got in there. I was in some waiting room first, got in. The Wheel of Death was spinning, saying, hold on. I'm going, oh, I'm never going to get tickets. Up pops row FF in the orchestra, literally fifth row. Got them, got those tickets, paid whatever the value was mm-hmm. at the time. And then we had to go down and get the went through
yes.
all this rigmarole.
He had a lot of hoop jumping because he was so anti-scalper
yes.
that he wanted to make sure that the people who bought the tickets were the people who were coming
so
to the
show.
So
you only get them at the venue
yep.
at certain times.
Oh,
I had to
buy a ticket too, yeah.
And then he ends up postponing, and I knew he wasn't going to redo the show. I almost sold them, and then I went, oh, let's just see what happens. And it ends up being his last concert ever. I was at that second show. You were at the first show.
I know.
So my point is, if you know there's going to be somebody coming to town that you really, it doesn't take much to figure out when tickets are going on sale. Boom, get online, do it. Get them for the price that they go on sale for. And you will be forever happy, really.
I am always shocked when I hear people say, especially after I've posted a review of something, I had no idea Jennifer Lopez was coming to town. Where you been? I mean, among radio, TV, newspaper, internet.
I didn't talk about it, so if they listen to us, they didn't know.
Facebook, you know, I mean, there's so many places where things are posted now that it's like, to me, that's not even an excuse anymore. It's like, if you were really interested in this person, you know, Google
look
it.
Look them up. That's
look it.
It
up. It's not that hard.
All right, we are two girls talking. We love hearing from you. You can either email us, twogirlstalking11@gmail.com, and that's the number 2 and the number 11. Or you can go to our Facebook page, Two Girls Talking.
If you have comments about what we talk about, if you want us to talk about something in particular, just let us know. We're always looking for good ideas about things that you might want to hear.